Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving, almighty Heavenly Father, we have assembled ourselves into thy presence. We pray, O God, that thy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would feel him working, that it might be manifest that he is here and in our midst, and that he is speaking to us each individually and yet also collectively. Father, we pray that our gathering together would not be in vain. We pray, Lord, that thy word would not return unto thee void, but that it would accomplish that for which it was sent out to do. Be thou magnified, be thou glorified, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. That's page 525 in the Pew Bibles. Seven. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the month of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Let me consider what Solomon had put his hand to and what he had desired to do in for the service of the Lord. We do find it to be something that we marvel at, and we are impressed with the effort and the diligence that has gone into the house of the Lord that he had made, the temple, as well as his own house, and how he drew together all the children of Israel together. It was all very, very impressive that he did. But let's keep in mind what the Lord did for us, how he is from everlasting to everlasting, and in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite love, he created an earth, and he created all that was therein, the water, the land, and the plant life, the animal life. He created man, and he gave the earth a sun to rule by day, a moon to rule by night. And he put everything in motion. He created stars, and then he created galaxies, and a galaxy here and a galaxy there. And he created all these things. He has done marvelous things and wonderful things. And he has created the earth for us to enjoy it richly, all things that he had created upon this earth. And then we see that his great, great love is for us, and that all that he created, then he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the love that God had for all mankind. This is the mercy that he had shown to all mankind. And so as we go through the scriptures, we see the mercy of the Lord and how great it is. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. His mercy is there. It's rich, and it's free, and it's full. And the children of Israel recognized this mercy that he had, and they worshiped him for that. And so we read here now this afternoon of a time in the kingdom of Israel, how David had ruled, and he ruled well, and he was walked with the Father, and the Lord was well pleased with him and said that he was a man after his own heart. And then it transitioned into King Solomon, his son. And King Solomon, we know through the word, was very rich, and also he was very wise. He asked for the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord gave it unto him. And King Solomon, with great diligence and with great effort, he desired to build a temple that would that the children of Israel could all worship the Lord in. And he spared no expense, and he gave all of his effort for it. And then he had this prayer, as his prayer of dedication was, that that all the children of Israel, whenever there was any issue, that as if they would come to that temple or at least direct their bodies toward that temple and pray, that the Lord would hear that prayer that they would offer, and that he would protect them and provide for them in his great and wonderful ways, because his mercies endure forever. And so Solomon had ended his prayer, made an end of his prayer, and it says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What a beautiful moment. What a beautiful time. How powerful and of an event this was. We have to marvel at it. We have to be astonished at it, that the Lord had done great, great things. And Solomon, in his ways that he was able to of himself, he did great and marvelous things. We marvel at what he had put together and this plan that he had brought to completion. And it says that there was this burnt offering and there was a sacrifice, and it says that the fire of the Lord came down and consumed it after Solomon had got done praying. And it says, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. We just have to marvel at this. We just have to marvel at this time and the relationship that the children of Israel had with their Maker, their God, who had called them by his name. Earlier, the Bible says that the priests could not stand and minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the God. This was a beautiful and monumentous time here in the history of Israel. And it says, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Again, this happened a little bit earlier after the prayer. Now it's happening again. Fire comes down from heaven. The glory of the Lord fills this temple. And the priests can't even do what they're to do because of the cloud and the glory of the Lord that was filled there. And it says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. A beautiful, beautiful moment. The true worship and how they gave themselves over unto worship. And when they saw the glory of the Lord, they put their faces where their faces belonged, and that was pointing to the pavement. And they were giving glory to the Lord as he filled the temple with his glory. And they proclaimed what had been proclaimed earlier by King David, I believe, where the psalmist in Psalm 118 says these same exact words, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God is good, always has been, and always will be. Whether it's, as we prayed together, whether that's favorable for us or not, God is good, and he is good all the time. And they were making that proclamation, making this truth that God is good, he is good, and his mercy endures forever. He created the earth. He created all things seen and unseen. And he gave unto us his only begotten Son. That's his mercy that he has for his creation. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. But wait a minute, the fire just came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice there. And this happened earlier as well. And it says, but the people offered sacrifices before the Lord yet again. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. They began the sacrifices again. It wasn't too much for them. It wasn't too much for them in all the building and the materials and the effort that was put into building the temple. It wasn't too much for them to worship the Lord as this was, in giving of sacrifices and yet more sacrifices. And if we were just to consider the logistics alone of how it is that you would bring 22,000 oxen into one place, and then on top of that to bring 120,000 sheep together in one place, the effort that was given there was palpable. It was very strong. How's our walk in the Lord? Do we marvel at his mercies? Do we marvel at the work of God? Do we marvel at him sending his only begotten Son for us? The effort that was given here was great, and there was no expense spared, and they gave a lot. And the priests waited upon their offices, and the Levites with their instruments of music for the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. There was a great service here of reverence and honor and glory to the Lord. They gave their best. The Levites gave their best. The priests gave their best. They praised the Lord with their instruments. All Israel stood. It wasn't too much for them to stand. They gave their best. And it's important for us that we always give our best in serving the Lord. That's what he wants from us. The Lord gave unto us his best. He gave unto us his only begotten Son. And he's asking for us that we would give our best as well. There was times when Israel fell into idolatry. They fell into their own sinful ways. And the Bible says that they sat down to eat and to drink, and then they rose up to play. They weren't so interested in serving the Lord and worshiping him and magnifying him and lauding his name at that time. But here they did. Here they did. And they gave their best. and then it says, and moreover, besides all this, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. I'm sure that the altar which Solomon had made to use for their sacrifices that they would sacrifice on in the temple was elaborate. I'm sure it was large. I'm sure it was good. But because they offered so much and at this time that they couldn't use that altar. They had so much that they were offering and sacrificing that they had to use the middle court. So this is how they came in this spirit of great diligence and in worshiping their God whom they knew. So they kept the feast 7 days, and it says, and all Israel with him, Solomon and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river Egypt. So those two geographic locations are from way north of Damascus. Hamath is north of Damascus, all the way down to the Nile River in Egypt. They all came together. All of Israel came together for this dedication of the temple and for this feast and this worship service that they were having. And it went on for days. Again, think of the logistics. Where do you put so many people? How do you feed so many people? And their tents were there in the fields. And yet there was the 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep as well, all gathered together here in Jerusalem at the temple. They gave great effort, great effort. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, and they were glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed upon David and to Solomon and to all Israel. They went to their tents. They had sacrificed. They had worshiped the Lord. They fell on their faces to the pavement. And they had done all these great things and expended themselves significantly in worshiping the Lord. And when they were all done, they went to their tents with gladness in their hearts. Gladness in their hearts. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord in his own house, he prosperously effected. He gave of himself. He was diligent. The Bible calls us to be diligent likewise. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I do not believe that God has lazy children. He only blesses us when we are diligent in our service to him. He blessed the children of Israel here. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat, the Bible says. rich, full. Because we expend ourselves. We're willing to be spent and to spend for the service of the Lord. And for us to do whatever God would have us to do, it's not too much. It's not too much. God gave unto us his very best. God did all for us. Is it too much to do something for the Lord that he would call us to? We will be glad and merry in heart when we give the Lord our best and when we are diligent in our service to him, and not to think it's too much. Then the Lord responds to what King Solomon had done and the children of Israel had done. The Lord appears unto Solomon by night and says unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So he's saying here, what you have just prayed about, and we can read it in chapter 6, verses 26 and 29, I believe, how that if there's any pestilence, that the people could pray toward that temple, and God would hear. That's what Solomon's prayer was. Then, Lord, hear from heaven, and provide for them, and forgive them, and heal the land. And so the Lord is saying to Solomon, what you have prayed for, here's my address to it. And the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. This is God's promise to the children of Israel. This is his promise to them. I've seen your worship. It was good. But I know the heart of man. I know the heart of man. He's saying, all you did was wonderful and it was great. But he say, but as long as you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So let's speak of these things. Shall humble themselves. God despises pride. He despises it. He can see pride from afar off, and he doesn't want us to have pride. Satan had pride. He doesn't want us to have pride. We've done nothing great of our own. Everything we have, the Lord has given it to us. Who are we to boast of anything? The Lord gave it to us in the first place. We are not to boast. We are not to be proud. We are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's what the scriptures say. And the Lord wants us to always remain in that state of having a contrite spirit and a broken heart. And so he's saying, if we humble ourselves, that he will hear us. And if we pray, if we turn to him and acknowledge that we have need of him, give us, Lord, our daily bread. We can't make our bread of our own. We can't do anything on our own. Our next heartbeat is in thy hands. We are to search out the Lord, seek him out. And he's saying here that we would turn to him and not to idols, that we would pray and seek his face. Look for him. Just as Jesus taught there on the Sermon on the Mount, ask, seek, and knock, that we would seek the face of the Lord, that we would turn to him and turn from wicked ways, that we would abide in the commandments that he has given unto us, and he will bless us. And then he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So for the children of Israel at this time, they had come into the land and they had established themselves in the land, and it was now theirs, and they were growing and they were being prosperous, and that land meant a lot to them. But in today's time, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not about the land, whether in Jerusalem or upon any other mountain, that we would worship the Lord, but we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and he indwells us, and he blesses us accordingly. So we could read that verse as saying, and will heal their hearts. He heals us, and he keeps us from sin when we turn to him and humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. He will heal our hearts. He will abide in our hearts. He will be with us, and he will forgive us our sins, as he says here. because his mercy endures forever. And the Lord continues on to Solomon, saying, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." And again, we worship the Lord in all places, here in this assembly, at our bedsides, wherever we are, where we pray to the Lord and we worship him and we laud his name. And if we do so, the Bible here is saying that God's eyes would be open and his ears attent unto our prayer. And in the New Testament, we read in Peter that he says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And so he's saying, "I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." And then he says, "And as for you, Solomon, if you continue in the ways that your father David did, then I will be with you, and I will provide for the children of Israel that a king would be there, a ruler in Israel." Then he says, "But," the Lord is saying here, now he's changing it, "but conversely, if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them." So there's this if and then statements. And if you're familiar with computer programming, it's if this condition is true, then do this. And so there's a lot of if then statements. And in the Bible, there's a lot of if then statements. So he's saying here, if you do well, I will bless you. Then I will bless you. If you do evil and you turn from my ways, then the cursing shall be upon you. And so he's saying that here. But if you turn away from my statutes and my commandments, which I have given set before you, and you go worship other gods, then will I pluck you up by the roots out of this land. And it was so. This is how it happened. The kings of Israel and the kings of Judah became more and more wicked, and finally God said, enough, and he plucked them out of the land of Jerusalem, out of the land of Israel, and he brought them over to Babylon. And same thing then later at the second temple as well, that God had sent his only begotten Son in the flesh to the earth, to his own, and they received him not. And in the year 70 AD, the children of Israel were plucked up out of the land, out of Egypt, out of Israel, and the temple was destroyed because they didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God that was sent to them. And so there was fulfillment of this, and it was true. So there's choices. We can be diligent in our worship to the Lord and never forsake him and give some more and gladly, or we can go about our own sinful way and the Lord will address us just as we do. Ecclesiastes 11 has a verse in there that we're all familiar with. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in all the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine own eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." We have a choice. We have free choice. God allowed us to decide on what it is that we're going to do. And so God was telling the children of Israel and telling Solomon there too as well, if you do well, if you pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I bless you. But if you go after other gods, then I will pluck you up out of the land. And so we are given this choice in our lives of what it is that we would do. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Lord says, "Behold," pay attention to this, "behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. And so he's saying, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. You do what you want. You have free choice. But there are consequences for the choices that you make. And God is making that abundantly clear. Think of Moses and the life that he had. He chose to suffer affliction with the children of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So here's here's Moses. He's in Pharaoh's house. He's got access to everything. Everything. If he wants music, he's got all the music he can get. If he wants pleasure, sport, he can get all the pleasures or sports he wants. Everything was open to him. He was in Pharaoh's house. But he chose, he made a decision not to enjoy the pleasures of sin that would last but for a season, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people and the children of God. And so many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we can see that they made choices. And they were blessed by their choices, or they were cursed by their choices. Solomon had this choice. He didn't have to build a temple that was this grand, but he chose to build a temple that was this grand. That Jews of hundreds of years later, they lamented at the second temple because it wasn't as glorious as the first temple. Solomon chose to ask for wisdom and not for riches and a long life. Naomi chose to go with her mother-in-law. Excuse me, Ruth or Naomi, I may be getting those mixed up. The woman that had her last two mites chose to put those two mites in the treasury box. She made that choice. We can make choices in our lives that glorify the Lord and to think that this isn't too much. This isn't giving of myself of too much because God has given unto me his very best and I want to give unto him my very best. But then there were those who made bad choices and they paid the consequences for it. Think of Lot's wife. She made a choice to look back. That was a bad choice that she made. And others that made bad choices in their lives. The Lord here, this chapter concludes saying, and the Lord says, "And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done this unto this land, unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they have forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which hath brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." We think, like, why would the children of Israel do that? But they did. But they did. And worse things have happened. In the New Testament, it says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." That's how severe the punishment was for those that despised Moses' law. The Bible here continues, "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath done despite, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." If there was severe repercussions for despising Moses' law, here it says, if we trod underfoot the blood of the Son of God, there will be a much sorer punishment. And if we do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Joshua said, "Choose ye whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Lastly, I want to go to a verse back in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, where we're given this choice. And what will we do with it? God who created galaxies, God who has done all for us, much more than what Solomon had done in worshiping the Lord, in bringing all that cattle to Jerusalem, and all those things that Solomon had done, God had done more, and it's what will we do with it? What will we do with what God has done for us? And so the Lord speaks here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. This is God's desire. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and he is thy length of days. It is the Lord that we worship. He has done all for us. May we be diligent in our service back to the Lord. May we make the choice that is right to love the Lord and to have him bless us and fill our hearts with his Spirit. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.